broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
Good morning. Let us pray on this Monday of the 18th week of Ordinary Time. It is the Feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are Catholic from the start on Morning Glory, here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It is Monday, August 6th. Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Price. We are live from the Guadalupe Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. I'm joined by Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
And good morning to you. Elisa Murphy is our producer, and our godly counsel is Monsignor Charles Pope. He leads us this morning in prayer.
Lord, I'm mindful that your transfigured glory was seen by Peter, James, and John, but only after a climb up a high mountain. So help us to remember that even in our climbs and struggles, we're climbing to a place where we're going to see your glory. At times, Lord, we do get weary. We do get weary. But help us, Lord, to know that if we're faithful, we will see your glory. And Lord Jesus, I make this prayer in your holy name, you who are Lord forever and ever. Amen.
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 Gloria has Mother Angelica's thought for the day.
God does choose the weak and the puny. He doesn't choose the strong because the strong don't need anything. It's like he said, I came for sinners. I didn't come for the healthy.
Gotta love that.
I know.
In the news on this Monday morning, a second powerful quake rocks an Indonesian tourist island over the weekend, at least 91 dead. The quake struck with sudden strong power on the island of Lombok. Damage on the north side described as massive. The Indonesian president is asking for prayers. Hot, dry conditions are making a very tough fight for crews battling the Ferguson fire in California. The fire has burned close to 82,000 acres now as it goes into its third week. Ferguson Fire Information Officer Joe Amador said that fire officials are keeping a close eye on the weather to help crews keep an upper hand on the flames.
Fire is always moving. The weather is always changing. And so fire behavior being the way it is, kind of unpredictable. We try to stay ahead of the fire.
The fire was 35% contained as it moved east over the weekend. Sheriff's deputies in northern New Mexico, who were searching for a missing 3-year-old boy, instead found 11 children living in squalid conditions on a remote high desert compound. The kids are now in foster care. They're said to be doing well. But officials said the boy, who was reported missing in Clayton County, Georgia, in December, was not there. They arrested his father, 39-year-old Siraj Wahaj, on child abduction charges. Taos County Sheriff Jerry Hogreff says the children were found wearing rags and living in a camper buried in a hole in the ground.
These children were hungry. They were thirsty. They were filthy.
The sheriff says the suspect was in possession of several handguns and an AR-15 style rifle with several loaded magazines. It is 4 minutes after now. Dozens hurt in a rash of gang-related shootings in Chicago over the weekend. It is one of the most violent weekends in Chicago in recent memory, including a 3-hour span on Sunday morning where 30 people were shot. Police say most of the shootings are gang-related. Over 60 people have been shot within the last 3 days. Elsewhere in the news, police in Union County, North Carolina, are searching for a teenager who robbed a child's lemonade stand at gunpoint Saturday. Police say the robber was armed with a BB gun and made off with $17 of the 9-year-old's hard-earned money. The child was not hurt in the robbery. His father, Philip Smith, says his son was back in business on Sunday after a conversation he didn't think he would have to have so soon.
Kind of explain it to him, you know, bad things do happen to good people. And it's, you know, you never know when it's going to happen to you.
Smith says his son was trying to raise money for a lawnmower to start another business. That is so sad. Come on.
Who does that? Really?
The Vatican facing claims that it released the revised catechism on the death penalty. in order to deflect attention from the sex abuse crisis that is rocking the Catholic Church. Capital punishment is now called inadmissible. Critics say it is a diversion from reforming the church, an idea the Vatican rejects. Catholic leaders in the United States are also reacting. Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles welcomes the changes to the catechism. He says he's grateful to Pope Francis for his leadership. The shift is having an impact on lawmakers as well. Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York says he will now introduce a bill to remove the death penalty from state law. However, Cuomo remains a strong supporter of abortion. Cardinal Donald Worrell has proposed that the U.S. bishops create a new panel to receive any allegations or rumors of sexual misconduct by one of its member bishops. Worrell added the Vatican could designate one of its offices to act on the proposed panel's findings. We will dig deeper into Cardinal McCarrick and the response by the USCCB during the second half of our show with Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, so please stay with us. Elsewhere in the news, Pope Francis invited the faithful to cultivate their relationship with God. Speaking to the crowd gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Sunday Angelus, Pope Francis explained that for Jesus, it is not enough that people simply search for him. He wants the people to know him and to understand that he came to bring us, quote, more than material satisfaction. In Tennessee, the race to fill up outgoing Senator Bob Corker's seat is heating up. Former Governor Phil Bredesen, a Democrat, is running against Republican Congressman Marsha Blackburn. A fierce pro-life advocate, Blackburn led a 20-16 House panel investigation into Planned Parenthood. Well, there's now a screen time link to poor health in kids. A scientific advisory statement from the American Heart Association says screen time from computers, phones, tablets, video games, TVs, and other devices is connected to more sedentary behavior in children and teens. This can lead to poor cardiovascular health and obesity. Researchers are also concerned eating behaviors could be affected with kids not noticing when they're full while eating in front of a screen. Is this the part where I can say, duh?
Exactly.
You know, I am so not surprised. I remember back in the day there were these video games that required people to dance. And how I remember reading back then the story of kids losing like 50, 60 pounds who were sedentary and always played video games, got hooked on this one game where you
Dance Revolution.
Moves.
Yeah.
That's
our,
it. Yeah,
our
dance
son
dance
loved DDR, and he was like a maniac on that thing.
Those things are hard. I remember seeing them at like Dave and Buster's, like they'd have an actual machine where people would be dancing with it. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of moving. So maybe they need something like that to help kids get moving if they're going to be watching a screen. But, you know, you'd hope they'd unplug and engage with the real world.
Well, one would hope so. And finally in the news, a Cincinnati biology teacher has become the first American to row solo across the North Atlantic. Bryce Carlson landed in England's Isles of Scilly last rowing more than 2,000 miles from Newfoundland, Canada. He did it in just under 40 days. Bryce was greeted with a hug at the pier in England by his father.
I feel like I had a lot of luck along the way and a lot of help. A lot of help from my friends, my family, the community. I don't know, from some higher power, I don't know. I had a lot of help.
From some higher power.
Higher power.
What would that be?
That's the electric company. That's the higher power. Carlson invested $75,000 of his own money, maxing out his credit cards to build a customized boat for the record-breaking crossing. I sense a TV movie in all this, don't you?
Yes.
I can see that. You know, I do wonder what goes on in people's minds to be that alone in nature, doing something that's so physically strenuous, how you can't, you know, to me, you would have some kind of spiritual experience, you know,
sure.
Realizing somebody is greater than you, God, that is, you know.
And he said he capsized at least three times, was hitting a tailwind of a tornado at one point, so it's a rather amazing feat, but I don't know the way in which he built this boat by maxing out his credit cards. I don't know if that's something he'd be telling his children to do in the classroom.
Hey, Gloria, you were in Phoenix last week, the cool and balmy Phoenix. where it was just
tell
a,
you.
Yeah, nice and breezy, wasn't it?
108 degrees was the high, and I was told by I took a rideshare service, and I thought the guy was being sarcastic. He's like, "Oh, you picked cooler temperatures to come." I was like, "Dude, it's 108," and he was like, "Yeah, but last week it was like 116, 118," and I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, this is cooler, I guess." Very hot. I was actually there for the USCCB's, that's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, annual pro-life diocesan directors meeting. And so you had all the pro-life offices across the United States attending this meeting in Phoenix. I was basically moderating all their plenary session panels, just like I did at the convocation for the entire church back in July. Mm-hmm. I did this for the pro-life directors meeting. And they basically talked about their ministry in light of missionary discipleship. So it was just a fantastic, various panels of people at different types of pro-life ministry in the church. And it was quite an honor to be there with all these pro-life leaders in our church. And we should be praying for them because they are the front lines in this kind of spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And Monsignor, you have some thoughts on this whole death penalty catechism thing, right?
Yeah, well, I think I'm a little more sanguine or, relaxed about this than I think some of my usual allies. There's been quite an explosion on the internet and, people that I respect who are very concerned about this. But I think that my own take on it is that it's not a change in doctrine. The reason for that is that it states that traditionally we've held that in certain circumstances the death penalty was admissible. But then it starts out, there's a phrase, "today, however," and then lists a number of current conditions. Mm-hmm. And then on account of that, the use of the death penalty today should be considered inadmissible. Now, inadmissible doesn't mean intrinsically evil. It just, that would be a change in doctrine, because Scripture does at times command it in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, Paul does make some references to its admissibility, and that the state even acts as an agent of God in dispensing justice in that way. But again, today we see increasingly godless states. advancing these. I would just simply say, my main point would not be to argue the scriptures and things. I think it's not intrinsically evil. That's clear. And I don't think that the catechism's change of wording is doing that. And that's where I would draw the line and say, let's talk a few folks off the ledge about this. And finally, just this thought this has really been the teaching of the church, in even the formal wording of the catechism, but really the last, at least five popes, maybe even further back, have not supported this its use, and most of the bishops worldwide. So I think that we just have to accept the fact that this is where we are as a church. We don't want the death penalty used,
right?
Even
Absolutely.
If it was in times in the past it was admissible.
Well, Monsignor, one of the things that I always thought it was the death penalty was so a matter so that the state could protect its citizens, and I understood John Paul II in reading him to say, where countries can protect their citizenry without the death penalty, that they need to do that. Like, you don't need the death penalty in most Western nations to keep the citizenry safe. And so I thought that this was just a furthering of that, saying that since, people have recourse to keep their citizens safe without killing, that they should do so. Am I misunderstanding that?
No, and I think that the last line of the new wording does take that into account. It says, consequently, the church teaches in the light of the gospel that the death penalty is inadmissible, and so on. And she works for its determination for its abolition worldwide. In other words, accepting that it does go on in certain parts of the world, but what can we do to work for its abolition? So there may be, I think, situations and circumstances where its use is in some sense required or was in the past and so on. But what we want to do is set up a system so it's no longer needed. I hope that answers it, Gloria, but that would be my take.
Yeah, that does. Of course, that answers it for me.
Very good. And this week marks the Knights of Columbus Convention. We're going to get a preview of that with Kevin Schinkel. Knights of Columbus, of course, big supporters of EWTN and vice versa. So we're going to talk with Kevin Schinkel about the Knights of Columbus Convention. That's coming up next on Morning Glory. It is 15 minutes after the hour. Stay with us.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This
is Morning Glory. At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
One of the great morning shows that we have for you each and every weekday here on EWTN Radio is Women of Grace with Johnette Benkovic-Williams. Today, Johnette brings you a great show to simplify and amplify your life of grace. And let me just give you a clue here. It is not just for women. So don't feel guilty, guys. It is a great show for everybody. Women of Grace with Johnette Benkovic-Williams this morning at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. 17 after the hour here on Morning Glory. I'm Tom Price, along with our producer, Elisa Murphy, Monsignor Charles Pope, and Gloria Purvis.
And we're joined by Kevin Schinkel. He's the Chief Communications Officer for the Knights of Columbus. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So glad you could join us. Look, we have some listeners who are not Catholic and may not be familiar with the Knights of Columbus. So for them, could you tell them a little bit about your organization?
Absolutely. I'd love to. The Knights of Columbus, frankly, it's an amazing organization from the standpoint. It's the largest Catholic lay organization in the world with 1.9, almost 2 million men. This past year, we did $185 million in charity. Those range from everything like you'll see in parishes or other things, you know, pancake dinners or pancake breakfast, fish fries, to do things in their local parish communities, all the way up to rebuilding a village, a Christian village in Iraq, for example, that we're doing in Cromlitz, Iraq, that had been overrun by ISIS, and ISIS was pushed back, but the Christians had no place to come back to, so we're rebuilding that village. We are the leading, one of the leading funders of the March for Life in Washington each year, and one of the biggest supporters of the pro-life movement. We are one of the biggest supporters of the Special Olympics and have been from the very beginning. Sergeant Shriver, whose wife founded the Special Olympics, once told us that, you know, the Knights are really the heart, they see the heart of the church. We're also, one of the things people don't quite understand or may not realize that we're also a Fortune 800 insurance company. Our founder, Venerable Father Michael J. McGivney, started the Knights of Columbus in the 1880s to, you know, at a time when Catholic men and their fathers were you know, often died in early and didn't have much to provide for their families. And so he saw the need to create kind of a Catholic type insurance program that really focused on Catholic values. So that insurance program is very, very large, and it's like, say, a Fortune 800 size company, and it with a very, very big asset management business. So it is, we kind of combine both this intense focus on charity and unity and fraternity, three of our core principles, with a really good business sense to help Catholics and members with top flight insurance to provide for their families.
Yeah. Kevin, as Monsignor Pope, I want to, you know, publicly thank the Knights of Columbus. I mean, the generosity is, of the works of the Knights of Columbus is really evident. I mean, everything from right here in D.C., the big bell tower there that we have at the Basilica, but I mean, to all kinds of smaller projects, like you say. And I really do hope that people know just how generous the Knights have been to the church and indeed to the world. And so I just want to, ask all of our listeners to just be aware of that. And I'm a fourth degree knight myself, and just encourage all the men to join. Could I ask you, just a little bit more about that history? You know, there were just times, so many of these fraternal organizations that we think of now as just, you know, fraternal, really did have a purpose in Catholic social teaching, you know, in providing burial expenses and life insurance and so on. So can you just say a little bit more about some of the things that they did early on for the men who joined?
Absolutely. The stories are abundant. You know, Father McGivney was an amazing person. And he was ordained right here in Baltimore, where our convention is being held. He was ordained at the old St. Mary's Seminary. You know, there was a time where men were being pushed in a lot of different directions. They often had very hard lives, and especially in the industrial cities, they had a lot of opportunities to join fraternal organizations, secret societies that were not Catholic based. Mm-hmm. And he saw the need to kind of bring, he called it the Go Ahead Men of New Haven, and started in a basement in New Haven to really, you know, again, it's simple. It was simple as looking out for your neighbors, looking out for your families, providing a means to do that to make you a better Catholic man, a better Catholic husband, a better Catholic father. and then provide, you know, his own life. You know, his father died young. He had to, Father McGivney was at a seminary in Canada, and his father dies, and he comes back thinking, you know, his dream of becoming a priest is over, because he had to provide for his mother and his younger siblings. But through the grace of God and then the Holy Spirit and the help of some powerful people in New Haven who kind of provided for him, who saw in him a future leader of the church, provided the means to allow him to go back to seminary in Baltimore. And you know, he then ended up creating this organization and literally changing the world.
So that brings me to my question. Tomorrow I know is the opening mass with Archbishop William Laurie at 9:30 a.m. Eastern in Baltimore. It'll be the 136th Knights of Columbus Convention. So what is the relationship between the Knights of Columbus and Baltimore? I'm wondering if there's some significance in picking Baltimore for the convention this year.
I think it's always great to when we can celebrate our heritage. It's an organization that really really thrives on that, and you know, while we're always looking ahead and looking at how we can, you know, reach the men of today, we're always cognizant of the, you know, as we like to put, the continuum. And I'll give you one example. There's a great seminarian we've met who we're going to recognize tomorrow, and he's actually doing some things for us on social media starting later today. We're going to call him, you know, the social seminarian. But, you know, very similar to Father McGivney in a way. He started off, you know, he was born in a Catholic family but did not practice. He had a tragedy early in his life, lost his father. He goes to the University of Maryland. He thinks he's going to, you know, he's studying microbiology or something like that, and he's going to go off and become a doctor. And instead he falls in with our college nights, and we have a very vibrant college nights program with many campuses around the country, and his was at the University of Maryland. And he falls in with them, and he ultimately reverts back to the faith, and instead of going to med school, he's now 2 years away from being ordained as a priest and here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And so, you know, it's that continuum of, you know, Father McGivney and to Zachary Crowley, who's our seminarian, and so, yeah, that so Baltimore is important in that respect. And certainly, you know, we've had some events already this weekend, you know, where Father McGivney was ordained and some of the things, you know, and where he prayed, and it's a very important part of our heritage.
Well, this is exciting, and I think people, if they're interested in following what's going to be happening at the Knights Convention, of course, EWTN will be providing live coverage. And if you're interested in finding out more about the Knights of Columbus, you can visit them online at kofc.org. Kevin Schinkel, Chief Communications Officer for Knights of Columbus, thank you so much for joining Morning Glory.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
And by the way, we'll be covering the opening mass and the opening session on EWTN Radio Classics. So you can check that out either on your EWTN app or by going to EWTNradio.net. Hey, 25 minutes after the hour right now, just ahead of Monsignor Charles Pope talking about the Battle of Desire. Let's first bring on Catholic Chatter with Elisa Murphy.
We've heard from Bill, a listener who just returned from a fishing trip over the weekend with his Knights of Columbus. He's very thankful for the organization and the fraternity. We've also heard from Carrie, who very much appreciated your words this morning, Monsignor, on the death penalty, the headlines it broke just last week. You can read Monsignor's blog at blog.adw.org and always find us via Twitter at EWTN. Email us directly anytime, morningglory@EWTN.com.
And here is Monsignor Charles Pope with his take on the Battle of Desire. Monsignor?
Yeah, it comes from yesterday's gospel where Jesus had multiplied the loaves and the fishes last week's gospel, and this week you find some folks like that free meal, and they're running around the lake to say, hey, give us another one of those. And the Lord says, look, he says, I assure you, you haven't come seeking me because you saw signs and want to put faith in me, but just because you had your bellies filled. So don't seek for food that perishes, but for food that lasts unto eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. So this is really at the heart of all of our battles, isn't it? You know, we seek so easily and so quickly the lower things, which is not, you know, we all, a good meal has its place. But we also need to spend as much time, even more time, desiring the higher things. And yet we so often we're off to Best Buy to upgrade the phone, but we never find time to pray. You know, we find time for everything else. And so, again, this idea of just asking the Lord to help us, because really, you know, all the saints basically say, you know, in so many words, that the real battle in life is a battle about desire. What do you want? What do you really want? And what you really want, you'll do. So we have to ask for a conversion of our desires. Now, the Lord says how that'll happen. He says, again, put faith in me, is what he says to them. This is how you'll find this bread, this living bread come down from heaven, the higher things, including the Eucharist. And we might think, well, how does just having faith, you know, help my desires to be converted? Well, I can just say, I think we've all, if you understand that faith is a relationship, it's not just, I can say the creed by heart, it's not just an intellectual thing, but it's a relationship. So I don't know about you, but I think all of us really, though, we've all met people in our life, and having met them, our lives were never the same, never the same. Mm. And if that's the case with human beings, then if we really meet the Lord through faith, our lives are changed. And I can say this for last 35 years of my life, I've been walking with him, and I can say this much, that my priorities are different and what I desire is changing. I got a long way to go, but the Lord's working on me.
As Amen. We all do. Hey, Amen. Thank you so much. And today's top stories are coming up next, plus Jeremy Dice of First Liberty with an update on Coach Kennedy. Who's that? Find out next.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
And good morning to you. It is half past the hour. This is Tom Price here on Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. Monday morning, August 6th in progress, we are joined by Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
In Washington, D.C., Elisa Murphy is our producer, and our godly counsel, Monsignor Charles Pope, he leads us in prayer.
Lord, we continue to meditate on your transfiguration, your glory, and we ask that we will be able to reflect that transfigured glory, not as the light of the sun, but as the moon reflecting the beautiful light that you are to us. So please help us to show forth your glory in the way we live through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Gloria, you have a musing coming up, right?
Yeah, I do. I just wanted to talk with people. It's interesting. It dovetails nicely with Monsignor talking about purity and conversion. Mm-hmm. And basically, just a word I think people need to understand when they want to be free from sexual impurities, that God wants that of them. So I want to talk more about that.
We will look forward to that. In the news, the U.S. is reimposing its first round of sanctions on Iran since President Trump announced the withdrawal from the Iran nuclear agreement. The Iran nuclear deal, brokered by President Obama, lifted these sanctions, but today, the first round of sanctions against Iran snapped back into place, 90 days after the president withdrew from the agreement. The U.S. is also ending Iran's ability to export carpets and foods into the United States. Ahead of the last special election before the midterms, Ohio GOP congressional candidate Troy Balderson is in a tight race with his Democratic rival. President Trump showed his support in a suburb of Columbus on Saturday evening.
Our hearts bleed red, white, and blue. We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God.
Balderson is endorsed by the pro-life group Ohio Right to Life. On Friday, legendary football coach Bobby Bowden, 12 states' attorneys general, and 15 members of Congress filed friend of the court briefs urging the Supreme Court of the United States to hear the case of Joe Kennedy, Coach Joe, a high school football coach who was fired for taking a knee at the 50-yard line and then offering a brief private prayer after high school football games. On the Newsmaker line, we have Jeremy Dice with us of First Liberty with more on Coach Joe Kennedy. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning.
Hey, tell us a little about Coach Kennedy. Who is he? Where is he?
Well, Coach Kennedy spent 20 years in the Marine Corps, and when he got out, he was asked to coach a high school football team in Bremerton, Washington, which is right outside of Seattle. Mm-hmm. And when he did so, he decided that after every game, you would go to the 50-yard line, take a knee, and for 15, maybe 30 seconds, say a quick word of thanks, a prayer, a silent prayer of thanks for the game, the guys that have played, and hopefully no injuries and that sort of thing. He did that for a period of years until the school district decided that they had had enough and told him that he could no longer engage in, quote, demonstrative religious activity. And Coach Kennedy asked to be accommodated for that. They refused, and ultimately they fired Coach Kennedy. No coach should be fired for simply going to the 50-yard line, taking a knee in silent prayer.
This is not at all like taking a knee like the NFL some players are doing, right?
Well, I mean, it is actually kind of similar in that both would be, I guess, expressive activity. But in this sense, it's religious activity, and that was a bridge too far. In fact, interestingly enough, at the Ninth Circuit, there were some coaches that had taken a knee kind of Kaepernick style with their players just down the street from Bremerton High School. Those coaches joined Coach Kennedy in saying, hey, look, he should have the same freedom that we have to be able to do this kind of thing. Look, every coach in the country should be free to retain their First Amendment rights, not only when they walk through the schoolhouse gates, but when they go on the gridiron.
It is amazing. I mean, I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, and I've been to a number of high school football games. This is no big deal here.
Well, faith and football seems to go together pretty carefully. And this should not be an issue whatsoever. But what the Supreme Court decides in this case, whether or not they decide to hear it, and then if they do hear it, how they decide, will make a big difference to Friday night football all across the country, to coaches everywhere and players as well.
Well, this certainly underscores the important work that you folks do there at First Liberty. Tell us a little about First Liberty.
Well, First Liberty is a nationwide religious liberty law firm. All we do is defend religious liberty for all Americans, whether that's in the schools, in the military, in the public square, or in our houses of worship. We want to make sure that all Americans are free to worship, free to exercise their religious beliefs from coast to coast. I would encourage folks to go to firstliberty.org. They'll find there that if they donate $50, we're going to send them a free T-shirt with Coach Kennedy's kneeling image on it there, so you guys could spread the word about this important
All
element.
Right. Beautiful. Jeremy Dice is the Deputy General Counsel for First Liberty. Hey, Jeremy, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate that. Elsewhere in the news here at 35 After, greeting the pilgrims in St. Peter's Square for the Sunday Angelus, Pope Francis turned his thoughts to a pope that he's preparing to canonize. The Holy Father said, 40 years ago, Blessed Pope Paul VI, the Pope of Modernity, was living his last hours on this earth. He died in the evening of August 6, 1978, adding, we remember him with great veneration and gratitude. The canonization mass takes place this fall. Finally in the news, a terrifying scene at Grand Haven, Michigan's lakeshore Sunday. Officials say rough waters forced several rescues, leaving two people dead, three other people hospitalized. Swimmers stepped up to help. At one point, they formed a human chain to rescue people pulled under the water. Well, that is one good bit of news in that horrible story.
Yes, it's so wonderful to see these stories of people swimming along that are actually stepping up to help out in these really traumatic situations.
Before we go to Gloria's musing, there was something that I saw on social media over the weekend, and I really want to give a shout-out to this father who was defending the purity of his daughter. Can you fill us in on that, Gloria, Elisa?
Well, you know, it was over the weekend at a California department store. There was a 15-year-old girl just walking around shopping, and her father realized that a man was following her, and he had his phone in camera mode and was taking some pretty explicit photos of her while she was shopping. And in a dramatic course of movement, he slams down this guy, puts him into his place, and really protects his daughter from this activity. And it wasn't a Target store, which, as we do remember, Target was open to having, like no gender when it comes to the dressing rooms. And I think this really leads to this kind of behavior. I don't know if you saw that that story, Gloria.
No, I didn't, but I'm not surprised. Target has had a number of incidences because they've allowed men in the dressing room where women are and in the bathrooms. And it's one of the reasons I boycott Target. I don't go there. Mm. But you see these kinds of... it's unfortunate to say this. You know, we have a fallen nature, and where there is... a chance for people to act out inappropriately, sometimes they do. And it makes me think about just, I'm going to go ahead and start musing.
Okay.
When I
jump
was,
in.
it just makes me think about, you know, so much of the sins of sexual impurity. And I remember talking with some young Catholic women, and they were saying that, you know, potential mates that they had considered, they had to break off the relationships because of the men's addiction to certain sexual behaviors that just aren't good for them, for pornography, sexual addiction, all those kinds of things. And how they remember the guys being sort of like, well, look, this is just, you know, I'm just really struggling with this. And that they almost were like, they, you know, this is just what they're going to have the rest of their life. And I was really troubled by that. And I had been praying about it. And in prayer, the Lord sometimes bumps me on the head. You know, we have to remember God wants us to be free of all these types of sins and addiction. And so instead of, you know, despairing that, you know, this is just my life, this is just the way it's going to be, know that God who made heaven and earth wants you to be free. He wants purity for you. He wants you to live a life of chastity, to have your desires ordered properly. Mm-hmm. And so if we could just remember that, like Monsignor said, if we want a conversion, you know, we have to want that conversion, but we also need to remember that God wants that conversion for us, and He will help us. And I also think about so many things that the church has available for people as well. These communities or these cords or things like that that people can wear. We have the Angelic Warfare Confraternity. That's a group of people to get together to pray, and they wear these blessed cords and they pray daily for purity. You also have the Cord of Saint Philomena, which is also for chastity and purity. You say a daily prayer, simple little daily prayer. And then you have the White Cord of Saint Joseph, which is also for chastity and purity of soul. And if I may make a little mention about the Cord of Saint Philomena, we just celebrated the Feast of Saint John Vianney. And he many times experienced help from Saint Philomena, not necessarily in those areas, but he experienced help from her, and he recommended that people wear her cord, the Cord of Saint Philomena. And so I just want people to remember, all of you who are out there struggling, do not despair. God is with you. God wants to help you become free from this particular type of sin. He wants us to be free from all sin, but for those people who feel like, you know, they are just trapped and cannot get out of it, don't believe that lie. Just believe that, you know, and desire, you want that conversion. God will help you. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but God will help you. And also remember something St. John Vianney said, at the times of temptation, call out to the Blessed Mother, and she will aid you, and Satan will flee. So let's not believe the lie that we're trapped in these kind of addictive sexual behaviors. We are not. We can be set free if we desire that conversion, and also if we recall God wants us to be free of this. And I'm hoping that it encourages somebody out there that you are not trapped in this way of living.
Amen. Yeah. I would add to that, Gloria, you know, as you mentioned, you know, we need to really start, I think, with taking, you know, cognizance of this fact that Scripture teaches that sins such as fornication, adultery, homosexual acts, and so on are all listed among sins that exclude one from the kingdom of God, which means if you die unrepentant, that's an important thing. You die unrepentant, that you go to hell. Now, so what we want to say is God's not just being a big meanie and trying to take away our fun. Go to the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, you know, if you even entertain lustful thoughts about another person, you're already guilty of this commandment, the sixth, what we call the sixth commandment. Now, what he's not trying to say, oh, man, a lot of people roll their eyes. It's impossible, man. I can't even, oh, man. You know, what the Lord isn't saying, look, you better start, you know, cleaning up your thought life. He's saying, do you understand? I'm offering you something. When I start to live my life in you, you're going to be so transformed that even your mind will become, you know, summoned to purity. And you will not only not be doing these things, you won't be thinking about them or approving of them. And this is a gift that the Lord gives. In other words, the Sermon on the Mount isn't just a longer list of requirements. It's a description of the transformed human person. That this is what happens to a person when the Lord begins to live His life in us. And again, so many saints and others and, you know, people who are alive and well now will testify, God has rescued me from so many desires, you know, and struggles, and just this transformation is very, very real in their lives. So it works if you work it. So work it because you're worth it.
It works if you work it. And I would say, when people say, oh, God wants to take away so much of our fun, if you talk to people that are entrapped in these kinds of behaviors and lifestyle, they'll tell you it's the furthest thing from fun. that they actually have a lot of misery. Mm-hmm. And so God wants us to be free from that. The world will try to tell us, you know, to live a particular way. I like to say that the world will try to tell you to treat your body like a merry-go-round. And I'll tell you, it's a lot of go-round, but very little merry. Yeah. We have to remember that, you know.
And for me, that brings it back to this father and daughter at the Target in California. You know, he stood up for her purity.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, he didn't put a gun to the guy's head, but he made a statement. He threw him down on the ground and said, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Stop it. Just stop it.
Amen.
And I think that, you know, we do need men helping other men recognize certain things just don't fly. Mm-hmm. You know, I really believe there's in some cases, a crisis of masculinity in that way. I think if more men stood up to each other and say, you know, we demand better behavior when it comes to women, we'd see a change, as well as women saying that there's certain behaviors that we aren't going to tolerate either in those situations where we can, you know.
Yeah. And to anyone who's struggling with this, run to Jesus. He's offering mercy. It's not a condemnation. But, but to be serious, he said, I really want to heal you of this. And so come to me. You know, the Lord isn't just shaking his finger at us. He says, come to me. You need my mercy, and I offer it in abundance.
Coming up next, with the recent news of Cardinal McCarrick and the response from the USCCB, we're going to talk with our good friend Bill Donahue of the Catholic League and this crisis facing our church today. It's coming up next on Morning Glory. We're about a quarter till the top of the hour. Do stay with us.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory. We value your opinion. Email morningglory at ewtn.com.
14 till the top of the hour. Hey, have you heard about Church Pop? It features new online Christian content that is fun, informative, and inspirational. It is a gas. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com. It's a division of EWTN. Churchpop.com. Do check it out. All right, this is Tom Price here at EWTN's Morning Glory program. Elisa Murphy is our producer. Gloria Purvis is along with us, along with Monsignor Charles Pope.
And we're joined by Bill Donahue, who's the president of the Catholic League, and a great hero, speaks up for Catholics, both clerical and lay, but especially for the laity in this matter. I heard you interviewed on Raymond Arroyo's show, and I just want to, you know, to thank you and get some of your reaction to the current response of the bishops, the USCCB, and also recently Cardinal Wuerl just over the weekend said that he thinks that we need to set up panels. I don't know the exact nature of that panel, but just tell us your reaction, generally speaking, to how the church is handling this so far.
Well, I mean, I'm somewhat sympathetic to the bishops because I don't know that anyone thought that at this late date, decades later, that some of this stuff would come to the fore. And I'm sure it kind of caught them by surprise. If there was wrongdoing done, and apparently there was, it was basically in the 80s, 90s, and I suppose maybe there were some concerns about the first half of this millennium. On the other hand, you know, I understand why Catholics are angry. I get that. Let's remember something. The head of CBS is accused of sexually harassing six women, not back in the 80s. 20 years ago, and he's still the head of CBS. He's not stepping down pending investigation. They'll investigate him while he's in charge of CBS, getting paid $70 million a year. Hmm. He had a press conference last week, and before the press conference, the media were told that there'll be no questions accepted except for second quarter earnings at CBS. And the media, the compliant media, the very people who were so defiant with the President of the United States, all sat there and dutifully did exactly what they were told and didn't ask any questions of Les Moonves. Now, my point is, listen, this is a problem of sexual misconduct. It's always been a problem in every society. Sometimes it involves minors. Sometimes it involves adults. Yes, there has to be accountability. But I don't like a two-tiered system, what's going on in Pennsylvania, a grand jury just of the Catholic Church, not of the public schools, not of imams, ministers, rabbis, just us. So I understand why Catholics are frustrated, but if there's any person in the Catholic Church who I have the utmost confidence in to get to the heart of this, it would be Cardinal Wuerl. I have to confess a bias here. When he was the Bishop of Pittsburgh and I was a professor in a local college in Pittsburgh, he was the one who tapped me to start getting interested in the Catholic League. And if it weren't for him, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. He's a wonderful man.
Yeah, I guess the other thing to say is that the biggest concern, I think, among Catholics is that it doesn't seem that there's any structure of accountability among the bishops. How does a bishop hold another bishop accountable? So there almost may need to be, I think, especially on the part of the laity, a more vigorous role, and or some mechanism where, you know, the concerns of the laity can be treated more seriously. Because I guess there were a good number of concerns expressed about Cardinal McCarrick that were either ignored or just got buried in the bureaucratic system. But what do you think a panel or whatever would look like? And how could bishops become more accountable to each other and to the church?
Well, part of the problem, I think, Monsignor, is that the bishops are basically accountable to the Pope, so I think you have to have some changes in Rome. I don't know how much authority. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm ignorant on this. I don't know how much authority the bishops have and latitude here in this country to make some change. Imagine they have some change. How much, I don't know. Regarding the laity, I'd be cautious. I'm not against this, though. I'm a layman myself. I'm a lay leader. Yeah. I'd be cautious about having lay activists, because a lot of them have their own agenda. I mean, I got an agenda to defend the Catholic Church. All right, I may be a little different. I'm not lobbying to be a part of the panel, that's for sure. I'm simply saying get some really good people who are devout Catholics, practicing Catholics, who may not all be that exercised about everything, and they're not exactly highly politicized activists, because those people tend to have their own biases, and they come in there with a predetermined agenda. That's not something I want. I want clear-headed thinking.
Yeah. Well, Bill, one of the things that I've been seeing on social media is people want the bishops to come together and do public acts of penance for the sins of bishops and all clerics and those who enabled or failed to put a halt to such sins. And the reasoning, they're saying that the bishop's sins have a particularly destructive impact upon the entire church. And even if just one bishop is guilty, the entire college owes reparation to the people of God. So I've seen a lot of calls for not so much just policies and procedures or panels, but actually public acts of penance for these particular sins because of the damage to the entire church. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm one of the ones who believes that the guilty should pay, but I also believe that the innocent should not. So if a bishop just didn't know anything about this whatsoever, I don't know why the acts of penance are required. I am concerned that there are people like Cardinal Farrell who lived with McCarrick for 6 years, said he never heard of this. Well, how did I hear of it? I knew of it. Everybody knew about it. Everybody heard rumors about what was going on down in Seagirt in the Jersey Shore. Yeah. I couldn't verify anything. Well, who am I? Yeah. You hear rumors. A lot of rumors are untrue, as we know. These rumors turned out to be true. But it seems to me that those bishops back in the 80s and 90s who did know and didn't report, they're the ones who have to do the penance. But I'd be cautious about getting somebody who had absolutely nothing to do with it and asking him. I actually had a member of the Catholic League send me an email last week. He held me accountable. What did I have to do with this?
Yeah.
So I think that we have to be careful of overreach, too.
No, I've had the same thing happen, Bill. People come and ream me out, and I said, I didn't do anything wrong. I swear I didn't do it.
Exactly.
And I'm
guilty, not the innocent.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is terrible. So, but again, all this, well, I think your cautions are very well taken, and I think we're going to have to be careful to handle this. I know that the older code, there was a little bit more local authority, you know, where bishops or archbishops would oversee, you know, the other bishops. And I don't know how we can handle it canonically, but I think some good things can come. But I appreciate your cautions on this, Bill, and your point of view today.
And to follow up on that, I mentioned the other night with Raymond Arroyo, Monsignor Guarino. He's a professor of theology at Seton Hall University. He's very careful because he wants to make sure the rights of the priest are not jettisoned. And that's important. Whenever you get into a situation like this, the laity are angry. Okay, we understand that. But, let's not get caught up in this hashtag MeToo movement to such an extent that we just bypass the due process rights of the accused. Because you're accused doesn't mean you're guilty. I mean, I'm very disturbed by the fact that we have the names of 71 people in the Diocese of Harrisburg. Their names are up now. They're not all priests. Some are priests, some are seminarians, some are deacons. None of them have been vetted. None of them have been vetted to the point where we know whether the accusation is true or false.
Yeah.
So we have 42 of, I did the count, 42 of these men are dead, 25 are alive, and 4 are unaccounted for.
Yeah.
So what if you're a nephew or a niece of a priest whose name has been accused and he's one of the dead, And if they did an investigation, they would find out there's nothing to the allegation.
Thank you, Bill Donahue, for joining us. We have to end now, but again, thank you for your cautions, and thank you for joining us again this morning on Morning Glory.
Thank you. Keep up the great work, guys.
Thank you.
5 minutes till the top of the hour. Here's Elisa one more time with Catholic Chatter.
Quickly, we've heard from Terry this morning, who is happy to hear about Cardinal Wuerl setting up a panel for these types of allegations. And EWTN being truly global, we've heard from Edwin this morning. And we do remember today his father, who passed away just 1 year ago today. So, Edwin, we will keep you and your father in our prayers today.
Absolutely. Monsignor Charles Pope has a quick look now at today's gospel.
It's the gospel of the Transfiguration. It is the Feast of the Transfiguration. And again, as I said earlier, you know, the Lord gave this to them. They had to make this climb, first of all, to see the vision. And then also he said, well, Peter says, I just want to stay here. And the Lord says, well, we got to go down this hill and go up another hill called Calvary. And that's just part of our pattern in life. We our life is the Paschal mystery. We're carrying about in ourselves the dying and the rising of Christ on a daily basis. We rise with him, we die, we rise again. And we're on that spiral staircase called Jacob's Ladder. And every round goes higher, higher. Soldiers of the Cross.
Wow. Thank you so much. And Elisa, who's on tomorrow?
We have Father Ed Bresnahan with us and Dr. Laidlaw joining to talk gender dysphoria.
And I want to welcome back Gloria. We missed you last week. Glad
to
get back on the show.
I'm glad to be back. I just want to say one thing. I do think it's okay for us to, whether you're guilty or not of a particular sin, it's always good to do reparation for another. That's
good
just
point.
My opinion.
Appreciate that. As we close, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
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 On behalf of our fabulous team here, Elisa Murphy, our producer, Gloria Purvis, and Monsignor Charles Pope, I'm Tom Price. We will see you tomorrow here on EWTN Radio's Morning Glory. You have a blessed day.
Catholic from the start. Because every new morning is a gift.